And on this edition of STOA, St. Teresa's on the Air, we welcome once again our pastor, Father Ray. Welcome once again, Father Ray.
You confused me with the STOA. I was going to say, isn't it WTOA?
Yeah, it is. It's STOA on WTOA. Oh. St. Teresa's on the Air on WTOA.
I didn't know we formally named the program.
Yeah, that's it, STOA.
We need to get some other people to interview, too.
What's that?
I said we need to get some other people to interview.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, we do. We have them, but, you know, people like you. for a while there, they were requesting Angel because we did that whole series on the history of the church.
Yes.
And that was enjoyable.
I hear people still look up and listen to that.
Yeah. So. Well, so we'll maybe we'll bring her back and do some more of that, and we'll do some others. But, you know, during this... Do I dare say time of crisis, because the COVID crisis is still among us, and during this craziness, the folks like to be reassured and hear from their pastor.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Great. So be assured, everybody. Be assured. I'm still here.
Be consoled, I am near.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite songs. Have to
be consoled, my people.
That's
one?
The one.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember that?
I do. Joe that was Wise. A nice song. Who? Joe Wise?
Joe Wise.
Was it?
Yeah.
Da, 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 dee, dee.
I may have to exhume that from the files. I mean, now that we don't have any hymnals to sing out of.
It doesn't matter which is like.
It doesn't matter.
Although, you know, on that topic, we have a lovely group of parishioners who hum very well.
You know, it's
the glory of these 40 days. That's what it was.
Once you get past the first line, everybody sounds like they're muffled.
Gosh, totally. I'm snorting here, laughing so hard. It's funny walking down the aisle. That's what you hear. You know, of course you don't hear it. You're singing. You got the words in front of you.
That's right. You know, I enjoyed this last. Just for a point of reference, this is this episode of STOA is being recorded the day after Ash Wednesday. So we go back to this past Sunday. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee was our recessional hymn. And I swear I heard joyful, joyful, we adore thee. It's like trumpets coming from the congregation.
That's what I hear going down the aisle.
Yeah. So
y'all need to kind of walk with me.
So what, you know, so in all seriousness, with the lack of hymnals, you know, it's been a year now, just about, because March
exactly
2020 was a year.
Yeah, we're coming up on a year.
Was a year since we, you know, closed the doors, and then when did we open them? Was it June?
Right, we did.
It was Pentecost.
Mother's Day was closed. Remember, yeah. We opened the back of the church for people to cut through to get the flowers.
That's right.
But I think we're open on Father's Day.
Yeah, well, we opened up on Pentecost. Pentecost
Sunday.
Oh,
that's right. Pentecost Sunday was the, yeah.
So, anyway, the one of the things that people ask a lot about is, you know, why can't we put the hymnals back in the pews? And, of course, it's one of those things, like, it's the same reason why we don't have the holy water. It's the same reason why we don't have anything that you can touch, really. You know, they still say that you can't have those surfaces, you know, things that a lot of people are going to touch, because you can't go in and what do they call it, disinfect all the books in between every masses and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's
becomes unwieldy.
It's hard. It's difficult. It's frustrating. It's all of the above, and yet, you know, I think. Let's see what I think it's we can get caught up on what we don't have and miss what we do have, which is the Eucharist.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, sure. We have all those wonderful new missals that people bought and dedicated and honored to different people, and they're all stuffed in a closet right now. We didn't sell them. We still have them. And they'll come back out, and we'll continue to pray for all of our loved ones who are listed in those books. But, you know, it kind of leads into Lent a lot because, you know, one of the first things is of the pillars that we read out in Matthew's gospel, right? Prayer, fasting and almsgiving. So prayer, of course, is the center, and having prayer is kind of important, you know. Now, music can be a form of prayer. People can pray through music. And if they don't have the words, then they can hum it.
Well, you know,
the melody.
Instrumental music is also, you know, a meditative thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes words get in the way.
They do. Where does that come from? Isn't that a song?
That's a song. I think it is. The
words get in the way.
Words get in the way. But yeah, the melody, the comforting melody. Well, that's, I mean, there was once upon a time. You know, there were just a handful of melodies that the church used, and you know, like mm-hmm. 20 sets of lyrics that would go to them.
Right.
You know, because that way the people knew what the melody was going to be and just sing the different words to them.
Right. Yeah, we have that in the Liturgy of the Hours. A lot of the evening prayer is on what they call the long meter.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have the same melody.
Right.
You know, it's just the different...
words.
Words.
That's the word you're looking for. Words.
I know what you're all thinking. So you're all thinking, oh my gosh, he's already losing it. Father Angel just left last night, and he's already losing it.
So let's talk about that. I mean, what do you give up for Lent? When, you know, there's the old saying about either, you know, go big or go home. What does Father Ray give up for Lent? The parochial vicar.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't something I gave up.
It
was taken away from me. And not it, but he.
He.
You know, and some people are like, oh, well, who are we getting? No one. You're stuck with me. So, let's see. Next closest church, if you're not happy with that. Tifton.
Camilla.
Cordele is a beautiful pastor over in Cordele, Father Paulinus.
That's right.
And Camilla, and, you know. And no, and that's another thing. You know, I mean, it. You know, it goes back to the simplicity of what are we focusing on, right? Prayer, and what's the greatest prayer? Well, not necessarily a prayer of asking, of petition, although it's a form of prayer. But I think a prayer of adoration, of thanksgiving, a prayer of, you know, yeah, things aren't perfect in this life, and although we can beg the Lord to want to fix or change or have or whatever, you know, being grateful for what we have and for who we have, and that the Lord is always there present, I think that's the best thing we can do, right?
It is. And, you know, what you were saying a minute ago about kind of refocusing on what we do have, you know, that may be the silver lining in this whole pandemic thing, where it strips us down to the essence of what we, okay, so we don't have hymnals, we don't have this, we don't
holy
have
water.
That.
Oh my gosh, no holy water.
Yeah, I mean, we can't do this, we can't do that. We have to sit this far apart. We can't get the wine. We can't, you know, and so it really forces us to focus on what we do have and why we're there in the first place.
Yeah.
Yes. You couldn't have said it any better.
I agree. I agree. It's a rainy day out tonight, and so it's cold, it's rainy.
It so is. It's a cold, cold, rainy day.
You know, sometimes people feel like life is cold and rainy. But remember, you know, the two good things about cold and rainy is the cold kills the gnats and the bugs.
True.
And and rain obviously makes things grow. You know.
But not gnats.
No, not gnats.
Mosquitoes.
No. Yes. lots of mosquitoes.
Let's walk us through the Lenten season.
Okay. Begins on Ash Wednesday.
No, that's your job, Pastor. So it begins on Ash Wednesday, and we talked about this last year, but it was one of the favorite comments, or one of the most commented upon things or questions that we had. It is such an important day in the church calendar, and yet it's not a holy day of obligation.
Oh, getting ashes, yes. Father, what time are you giving ashes out? Well, we have Mass at such and such a time. No, I don't want to go to Mass. I just want to get ashes. So think about that. I mean, really? Like, yes, the ashes, an external sign. It's important, you know. I mean, people wear crucifixes, they wear crosses, they wear lapel pins. Try to find a politician that doesn't have some kind of lapel pin of maybe the flag or something mm-hmm. like that, you know, especially during election season. in businesses, people wear lanyards with their identification. Go down to Phoebe. Everybody's got a doctor or a nurse. Anybody that works there has got an ID badge. You know, there's always something. And these are all external that qualify you because of the internal. You know, you studied, you became, you did the work to earn that external thing. And so, you know, when people get caught up on the ashes and they don't want to receive the Eucharist, you know, I've actually had people, and I'm sure I said this before, not so much this year because they don't have the missalette to follow along, but in the missalettes it says after the homily the priest blesses the ashes and distributes the ashes. And people get upset because you did ashes at the end of Mass. You made me sit through the whole Mass.
No, the nerve.
I mean, just think about that. Like, the burnt palms representing that everything of this life is going to turn to ash, you and I included, is more important than the Eucharist, which gives us eternal life. I don't want the Eucharist. I want the ashes. To me, that's very, very much like the Pharisees that Jesus struggled with. You know, he says, "You guys, you hypocrites, you're more concerned with the washing of cups and jugs and the preparing of beds and tables and your disciples eat with unclean, that is unwashed hands." You know, the scripture throws, we read all of these things of the Pharisees kibitzing to Jesus. And, you know, and he says, but what's in the heart? It's not the outside that matters. But when people are more concerned about ashes on a non-holy day of obligation, this is a problem, you know. And it's a big problem because I think over the years the priests and deacons have failed in preaching the Eucharist. And, you know, sometimes we ourselves become a little pharisaical as well and are more concerned about the exterior things. And so, you know, what was the whole purpose of Jesus coming, right? Well, our salvation, of course. But it was also to, you know, change our hearts, to not be so hardened on the things of the exterior. You know, there's a lot of people that like to be showy, but then you hear their confession, and they're really messed up on the inside. And they want the exterior to be seen, not the interior. And yet, this is what the Lord talks about. This is what he warns us about, you know. And so, yes, getting ashes is important. It's a nice start to Lent. It's a good sign. It's a good reminder. And it's a good, it can be also a great evangelical tool out in society as you go about with your forehead marked with the ashes. But what about the other 39 days of Lent, right? I mean, I would assume that today being Thursday after Ash Wednesday, nobody should still be walking around with ashes on their forehead. And then you had the other church.
Unless they didn't wash.
Well, right. Yeah. You know. And then we've got a lot of the other Christian faiths that are jumping on the bandwagon. You know, ashes to go, drive through ashes. You know. But let's face it. I mean, it can be a stepping stone, but we Catholics have something that is so much greater than burnt palm branches. And yet people get caught up on that. And I think that's what I complained about last year. And I'd probably complain about it.
I think every year since you've been here.
And every year since I've been a priest, you know. And I think, like, in my first 2 years at Blessed Sacrament in Savannah, serving with Father McCarthy, God rest his soul, who was here as his first assignment back in, I think, 1974 when he was ordained.
No, the late 70s.
Was it late?
Late 70s. One of my favorite priests, by the way.
Yeah. He was my first pastor, and, you know, being a canon lawyer, he was very much, you know, by the rules. And so we did things right after the homily. The ashes were blessed and distributed. And what I observed those 2 years on those two Ash Wednesdays were masses of people leaving church and not staying for the rest and not staying for the Eucharist. To me, that's a huge problem. That is a huge problem. And then you'll have a holy day of obligation and you get nobody that shows up. They'll put themselves in mortal sin, right?
Right.
I mean, go figure. Why? I don't know. It's because we're not giving anything. You know, someone once said that, you know, the busiest days of the church is whenever you're giving something out. Palm Sunday, everybody comes for palms. Ash Wednesday, they all come for ashes. You know, Mother's Day, if they know you're giving flowers out, that way they don't have to go buy their own mother flowers. They can come to church and get a flower and count that, or, you know, stop by the cemetery and get a flower there. That's just kind of hanging around. You know, Father's Day, you know, of course, we give out those six packs of beer. So,
I missed out on that. What happened there?
So, I don't know. I mean, this is what happens when we lose focus of what is the Mass all about, right? The liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist, both extremely important. But for many, no, just getting ashes on my forehead is, you know, it's very Pharisaical, I think. It's also that, I don't know, it, to me it's a kind of checkmark spirituality. You know, and I relate this to sacrament, you know. So, for example, you know, we have a baby and we need it baptized, but we don't go to church. And so they do everything they need to do to get the baby baptized, and then they get the baby baptized, and then they don't come back to church, and we don't see them until the baby turns about second grade, 7 or 8 years old, when grandmother or someone says, oh, doesn't that child need to be... make his first communion and receive first penance. Oh, yeah, yeah. So all of a sudden, the family's back at church. And then once those two sacraments happen, kid disappears. And then we don't see him until confirmation. You know, because now it's time for, you know, he's got to be confirmed. You got to confirm in the faith that you don't even practice. Go figure that one, right? You know? And so the kid shows up kicking and screaming because he doesn't want any of this. And why would he? He hasn't been raised in it. And yet, check, kid gets confirmed. Goes off to college, and of course, you know, he doesn't have the practice of the faith. And, you know, most people will be swayed away from their faith if they don't stay active in a good Newman club or some parish youth program. But if they do fall in love, they want to get married in the church because it's that important, even though they don't go to church. Check, they get married, right? It's this checkmark spirituality. And then guess what happens? They have a baby.
And that's the way it should. Cycle.
And then the cycle repeats, right? You know, it's checkmark spirituality. So I come to Ash Wednesday, I get ashes, check, I'm done for the, you know, did my thing. I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. It's, yeah, it's a nice thing to do. It's a good sign. It's, but something seriously wrong with that. You know? So, and maybe it's just me, and maybe it's just my pet peeve, and maybe it's maybe I'm way off base, and if I am, I don't want to hear it. But because I'm not asking you your opinion of what I'm just saying.
But it's I don't think about recording the show. They can't call in and
say something, and you know, and like I said, we don't have a beep button.
However, Father will be available after Mass for for comments on the program.
Yes, well, that's one way we find out if anybody listens. We throw these comments in. These
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah, we had a few comments last time after the last show.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, you made that connection to, was it marijuana or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it was, I thought, an accurate observation.
Well, you know, now if we've piqued your curiosity, you'll have to
go back and listen.
Scroll down and listen to that show.
That's right. That'll be the one below this one on the website if you're listening from the website in the podcast edition.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to it on the radio, you'll have to go to the website because you can't rewind on the radio.
No.
Yeah.
No, but you can on the podcast, I guess.
That's right.
So anyways, because we're going to get close to the end of our time here, you know, I don't know you who are sitting and listening, you know, do you think ashes are more important than the Eucharist? God, I hope not. And I doubt it if you're listening to this. Those who most likely are listening to this, I would say, are pretty much, you know, in line with, you know, the Eucharist is and always will be the most important of anything in life, you know. But there are people that you may come in contact with or have, you know. If you got your ashes yesterday at the noon Mass and, you know, what kind of experiences did you have during the day, you know. It used to be, you know, just the Catholics did the Ash Wednesday. Now everybody's doing it, so it's not so much, hey, mister, you got something on your forehead.
Right.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the Porterfield had their big sign out, you know, drive through ashes, and there was on the news, I guess, WALB, or in the Herald or whatever the newspaper is, someone had told me that they had the list of places where you could drive through ashes, you know? It's more than that.
It's just a little something more than that,
you know? But, you know, that's why prayer is so important, because it focuses us. And when we just do things for the sake of doing them without the understanding, you know, then we miss the boat big time.
So what did you give up other than the parochial vicar for?
Like I've always said, I never share what I give up for Lent. And because I never ask anybody else what they gave up. I could make suggestions as to what some people should give up.
But, no, I'm not giving up pizza. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
But remember, it's not just the giving up. The giving up serves as a reminder. You know, if you're someone that drinks sweet tea every day or has grits every day and you give up those things, I know, God forbid, I can hear some of you like, what? He just suggested we give up. No, I'm just using those as examples. You know, things that are part of your daily life, the reason we give it up is every time we go for that, we want that, it should remind us. It should lead us into prayer. But giving up is such a small part. It's also about doing, right?
That's right.
Doing. What more are you doing to help the poor? What more are you doing to, you know, to better people's lives around you, you know? So not only what are you giving up to remind you of the sacrifice Christ made for us, but what are you doing to help those least among us?
So maybe it's not so much of what are you giving up, but how are you giving of yourself?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I know we're almost out of time, and, you know, a lot of times people will go through their clothes closets and get rid of all of the stuff they don't use anymore. Well, why not go out and buy some new stuff and give it to the poor? That's a sacrifice. Giving up stuff I don't use.
Brand new stuff.
You know, giving stuff up that I don't use is not really a sacrifice. It's cleaning your closet to make more room for more junk.
For more stuff. There you go. Well, as always, we thank you for venturing across the street in the cold, wet, and rainy weather. Always enjoy having you at the microphone, Father Ray.
Thank you all. God bless you. Happy Lent.